Good morning, everyone. We're back for another week of the Listen Up podcast with the latest in healthcare news. I'm here joined today by Jim Hammond.
Good morning, everybody.
Publisher and CEO of the Hertel Report. So we're just going to dive into the latest news and get a little bit of Mr. Hammond's insight here. So I want to start out with a story we covered about safety net health plans and how Medicare beneficiaries can really benefit from reading this.
This is good news for Medicaid beneficiaries. The article is really about a study that some plans put together showing success factors for dealing with people with substance abuse disorder. And most of these folks are on Medicaid. So this is very timely because we just started a new contract year with the Access plans. They're now called Access Complete Care plans. And that means that they're integrating behavioral health and physical health. And so dealing with folks with substance abuse disorder is something these plans are going to have to deal with. And so this article and the study, I think, would be very interesting for our readers that work for Medicaid plans.
Now, it's interesting because the premise says that the managed care organizations are in this unique position geared toward helping this issue of substance abuse disorder.
Well, they're responsible. So these Medicaid plans, one, they're responsible by the design of the agreement that they have with the state. They are now responsible for both physical and behavioral health. But they're also responsible for, you know, all the costs associated with these folks. So if they can figure out a way to get these members healthy and off drugs and use opioid treatment programs to get folks off of opioids, that'll be a huge win for them financially and also for us as a society.
And sort of an initiative to coordinate care so that's not so fragmented during that time of recovery.
Right. So that's what the article is about. That's what the study's about, is all the details of how do you really coordinate that care. And I think our readers will like that. At a high level, our listeners are going to be interested to know that 40% of the non-elderly folks on Medicaid plans are opioid addicted, right? Isn't that what we heard?
Yes.
So it's a huge, huge problem. All the health plans, all the access plans are going to be dealing with this. So it's a very timely article.
And I know David Garcia, the gubernatorial candidate.
Right. The Democratic gubernatorial candidate.
Right. Spoke a little bit about...
Well, he spoke a lot about stuff.
He spoke a lot about healthcare, but he did mention a bit safety net plans and sort of this buy-in into Medicare for low income.
Yeah, he wants more people to be enrolled and to be insured, which I think is a noble cause. What he's suggesting is that folks should be able to buy into Medicaid. In Arizona, we have a very successful Medicaid program, the Access program, which is a model nationally. And if it's so great, then why don't we let people buy into it?
Right.
Unfortunately, this is not a new idea. It's an older idea. We've tried this before in Arizona. It was called the healthcare group, where small groups that had potentially some reason why they couldn't get healthcare, they could buy into an Access program. Unfortunately, the plan failed because it attracted really bad risk. So the folks that the insurance industry had spun out and kicked out of the industry were now looking to this healthcare group program to save them. But ultimately, they could not sustain that. So the program closed.
Right.
So what else do we have?
Medicare Advantage. It is an official report by CMS that premiums have dropped.
Yeah, premiums are going to go down. Open enrollment starts on the 15th for Medicare Advantage folks. They expect growth. Nationally, it's over 35% of folks are on a Medicare Advantage plan. In Arizona, we're right around 40%. So we expect that more people will be choosing a Medicare Advantage plan. This is good news that premiums are going down. A lot of plans have zero premium. We're going to do a report on this. They didn't give us the star ratings of the plans when they put this data out. So we're going to wait for a week or so
for the
star ratings to come out. And then we will put together what we call a spotlight report.
So sort of like a value indicator?
No. Well, yeah, the star rating is a value indicator. Absolutely. And so people will be using star ratings, I think, when they choose their plan. If you've got a 5-star plan and you've got a 3.5-star plan and they're similar, why wouldn't you choose the 5-star plan?
Right.
So those ratings are very important. They also impact the revenue that those plans get. So it impacts the multiplier that they get on their capitation rates from CMS. So 5-star plans get more money than 3.5-star plans.
There's the motivation to be a 5-star plan.
Right. So that motivation has caused some problems for our friends at DaVita, which is another story here, and where they've gotten in trouble they've tried too hard to increase the RAF scores, and they basically got caught and they admitted it. and they're going to pay the federal government back, what was it, $270 million, right?
But not only were they, you know, looking for more diagnoses to code, but also using incorrect codes.
They did use some incorrect codes, which impacted the RAF score and resulted in more money for the health plans.
Right, which is arguably where the settlement could
well,
stem
and
from.
Well, and DaVita was an at-risk provider underneath those MA plans. So if the revenue increased at the top, they were more likely to get some at the end. So they were in a risk share kind of model where they would benefit from that higher RAF score.
The bottom line.
Right.
It's all about the bottom line.
So that was DaVita. They're going to pay back the $270 million. What else do we have?
Well, we have Amazon. Amazon has been sort of muted in the news lately because they haven't really come out with, I mean, apart from assigning their CEO.
Right. Atul Gawande.
Dr. Gawande in the summer in June.
Right.
But not really any new news has come out as to what exactly they want to do.
But the article that we highlight here in this post
is that it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going
right.
to play a key role in healthcare.
Yeah. So how are they going to really
CEO?
Are they going to really reinvent healthcare? I think there's some low-hanging fruit for them. They are poised to get into the pharmacy space.
They have the capital for
They have the capital. They have the network. They deliver already. They know how to do that. So why wouldn't they become the mail order pharmacy of choice across the country? So that's kind of easy and to think about. The next one that's getting a lot
it's
of
a nice
attention
segue.
Is...
It's easy, but it's sort of like an foot in the door phenomenon.
It's a big foot in the door. And the health plans that choose to use their mail order instead of another PBM, pharmacy benefit manager, that will determine how much of an impact they have. Are they going to go steal a bunch of business from the other pharmacy benefit managers?
Now, that's interesting because the Express Scripts deal with Cigna just went
Cigna,
through.
Right.
Cigna, yeah. And I know when Amazon announced this in January, there were some tensions on that to get that deal to go through
well,
to, you know, strengthen
Cigna's position. Yeah,
right.
Cigna.
And Express Scripts is
well, not. if you're a plan that doesn't have a PBM relationship, then you can use Amazon. So, you know, maybe that's what it becomes. It becomes the PBMs against Amazon in that space. But there's more that they can do. And the other thing that they were talking about is the care management piece. And that's this Alexa in the home kind of thing where
right.
you could use an Alexa-like device to track folks when they get home after being in the hospital. So this is the post-acute space. You have somebody with a chronic disease. They get discharged from the hospital, but we need to keep track of them. Well, we could send a nurse out to their house. We could have somebody stay with them. Or we can use technology and interact with that patient and see how they're doing in their recovery by using technology. And that's, I think, really where this interesting stuff is going to come.
Now, it's interesting because technology is dependent on a lot of factors in that X, Y, and Z have to go well in order for it
right.
to work, essentially, because like you were saying earlier, the providers sort of have to buy into that.
Well, sure. The health plan is responsible right now for those costs. And that's if I had this thing, this magic box that was a case manager in a box that you could put in somebody's house, my target market would be the health plans, would be the Medicare Advantage plans, would be the Medicaid plans. And I would say, you need to buy one of these for each one of your discharged patients, right? Well, they're going to have to decide whether or not that makes sense for them. Is that going to create a return on investment for them? What are the services behind the magic box? You need to have care managers that can interpret, or you use technology to interpret what you learned, and then you might need to communicate it. You might need to use a human. So it's more than just this fancy box on the shelf. It's a more complicated.
It's like implementing a whole new network of how you
well, it's,
deal
they
with
have it. These. They have these networks already. They have case managers
right.
and those kinds of things. It's how do you integrate this new technology into the human part and get it all done. And that's what the magic is going to be that we're going to get to watch here in the next couple of years.
Well, hopefully they're in a unique position to use technology. They have a lot of cash.
A lot of money. What were you going to say? We're going to use we're going to call that a lot of money?
Billions and billions,
billions
of dollars.
Yeah, so they're cash rich, and they can experiment and try new
things.
Yeah,
they have mobility. I mean, they're not tied down by, yes, they have shareholders and everything, but they essentially they're looking to provide their employees.
Start with their employees,
right.
Sure.
So in one way, they're prepared to lose money, but will they?
Well, ultimately, if it slows down the rate of increase in healthcare costs for their employees, then it's a victory.
Right.
And even just slowing that rate down would be good. So
now, in technology, again, the Arizona Care Network
right? ACN.
Locally, ACN is introducing this blockchain.
They're purported to be the first to introduce blockchain into an ACO.
And this digital currency in this, it's called the New Care Wallet by SolveCare.
Right.
Where
they're going to do this for the physicians first. So they're going to track whether the physicians are meeting certain milestones, guideposts, goals for care and for utilization.
It.
Right. And they earn these coins. They earn care coins that then can be redeemed for U.S. currency. So it's a rewards program for their network. And this encourages their network to do the things that ACN hopes that they do. Meet the guidelines about immunizations, meet guidelines about visits for mammography for people on Medicare, women on Medicare. You know, are you hitting your targets on your visits for certain patients? You know?
And it's all locked in on this virtual ledger, digital ledger, which is the blockchain.
Blockchain.
So movements within that area will be
tracked and connected, right?
Exactly.
Isn't it permanent, tracked and connected permanently?
From the start, a blockchain is immutable, meaning that you cannot change it. So there has to be special attention paid to what you put into that blockchain or else the entire block is just invalid.
Right. And I think they're starting with this physician stuff first.
Before moving into the patient market.
They don't want to get the patient records involved yet, I think. That's just conjecture on my part. But they're starting with the physicians.
Now, this sort of parallels the whole initiative to lower the amount of paperwork. Right?
Well, I would hope so. Ultimately, everybody wants that. Yeah, the administration wants that. They've stated that we want to get paperwork out of the doctor's office. And so, yeah, if there's a technological way to keep track of this stuff where the doctors do what they do and the technology tracks it, that would be great. Because I keep hearing that for every hour that a physician is in clinic, actually clinically speaking and touching a patient, 2 hours of work needs to be done in documenting those endeavors. So we've got to cut that down. We've got to turn that ratio upside down.
I guess increase efficiency and efficacy.
Efficacy, yes.
Which is important.
That's
as
a $10
well.
Word. All right.
Yes, it is.
What else do we have? Anything else?
Oh,
the MGMA meeting. I wanted to mention that.
Yes.
So Medical Group Management Association has a meeting next week down at the Sheraton Wild Horse Pass Resort.
Is it an open meeting?
It's what?
Is it an open meeting?
Well, you have to pay to go.
Okay.
We have information on our website in the events or the calendar section. You can find that. It's also, if you got the email that delivers the Thursday news, there's a link in there to the MGMA meeting. So check it out. They have a good agenda. Tom Betlock from Access is speaking. He's a featured speaker. And it's going to be interesting to hear what he says.
A little bit of insight from Medicaid that was so prevalent in the news this week.
Right.
You know, with the safety net plans and the managed care organization.
Right.
So.
All right. So I'll see everybody there. I will be there. So I will see folks at Wild Horse Pass next week.
Everyone can buy a ticket to see Jim in person.
Sure. I am not speaking. I will just be there as an audience member.
Oh, good.
So,
thank God.
Okay, yeah. So I also want to shout out my friend Mark Lawrence and his band played the music.
Yes, we got new music.
So we have new music.
I think it's a lot better.
Yeah, do you? Good. All right, well, you can play a long riff here to play us out. So
perfect. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for joining me today.
You bet.
We'll be back next week.
All right.
Good morning.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.